Okay, thanks. It's now my pleasure to introduce David Moskowitz, who's going to be talking, he's going to be going through a comparison of condom use, HIV and sexual health screenings between MSM with and without military service. Dr. Moskowitz is an assistant professor at the University of Texas at San Antonio, completed his PhD in health communication at Northwestern University, and trained as an NIMH postdoctoral fellow at CARE at the Medical College of Wisconsin. Dr. Moskowitz studies HIV, STI, risk-taking behavior in gay and bisexual men, and the influences of cultural norms on such behaviors. Take it away.
And this is a really good example of why you need to go and update your APHA information every year and before the conference, because actually I'm at the New York Medical College, and I've been there for about a year and 4 months. So what we're talking about here is this comparison of condom use, HIV, and sexual health screenings between men with and without military service. And the title's a little bit of a, I guess it's misleading, because what we're really talking about are veterans. And across all the different presentations we've heard thus far, we haven't really seen any data that addresses what veterans are doing. We've also not seen any between analyses. And if you guys know any of my research, I'm basically the between analyses queen, where I take different groups within gay and bisexual men, and I compare them to one another on these sorts of sexual health and screening measures. Obviously, I have nothing to disclose, neither me nor my co-author, Phil Schnars, from the University of Texas at San Antonio. Nothing to disclose. So you've heard a lot about what we know, or rather what we don't know, about LGBT service members. We know that sexual minority service members are estimated at about 2.8%, and that, according to the latest census data, there are about 1 million U.S. veterans identifying as LGBT. And again, these numbers are pretty new and relatively untested because they only exist after Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And I think the history is important here. For decades, it was punishable by dishonorable discharge if you were found out to be gay. The 1990s saw Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which basically says it's fine, just let's not talk about it. And of course, that was repealed in 2010. Now, the general health of veterans, we know that they also have a greater odd of just sort of general problems, such as they're more likely to engage in physical violence or physically violent behaviors, more likely to have negative health outcomes like diabetes, mental health problems, obviously PTSD, but also self-esteem issues, substance use, suicide, and suicide ideation. Now, we've explored a lot of these health disparities with respect to sort of general or heterosexual veterans, but we don't really know what's going on in terms of those with sexual minority status. And most of the research that exists out there basically looks at, well, what is Don't Ask, Don't Tell? What are the social, political, ethical ramifications of that? And then it sort of stops. So in terms of the veteran sexual health, and again, this isn't really dissected by sexual minority status. We've heard already about the STI rates from 8.8% to about 14.1%, and these are all moderated by whether you're living in the barracks, whether you're African American or white. In terms of HIV, I actually read somewhere, and I know this goes against what Anna put up, that they were tested biannually, but I don't know exactly. I know that they're at least tested once a year, and of course before deployment. The seroprevalence of service members is estimated at about 2 in 10,000, and the CDC says of the general population it's about 47 in 10,000. And if you go to any major metropolitan city for the gay or bisexual population, it can be as high as 2,000 in 10,000, so as high as 20%. John spoke about this, so of HIV-positive servicemen, 37% report MSM behavior, 22% MSMW behavior. So this is somewhat of a bridge population. But what about those veterans who are sexual minority individuals, who are LGBT? there exists this excellent infrastructure out there, the VA system, but there have been very few examples of good research that comes from those areas. A couple of studies have, though. Simpson says that 33% of sexual minority veterans disclose to their VA providers their SM status. 25% avoid the care because they're worried about the stigma associated with their problems. But there was a great presentation on Monday here by Michael Koth out of Houston, and he basically said of primary care providers at the VA, you know, 46 to 48%, so about half of providers support this idea that it is important to assess sexual minority status. And 68% say they're comfortable with doing it, but only 50% of providers actually, you know, enact and discuss sexual minority status, sexual orientation with their patients. And obviously this has implications for the sorts of tests that should be required, and also the sorts of treatments or advice that should be given. Now, we had some research questions and hypotheses when it came to the sexual minority veterans. And again, this was a between analysis, civilians versus veterans. And we came at this with this idea that, and it kind of is exemplified by the picture, that, you know, veterans would have this potentially hyper-masculine identity, which would be prescriptive of specific behaviors that we see in other groups, where, you know, condom use is not really used, HIV testing is not necessarily consistently conducted. So that's how we were framing this group. And we found that, we hypothesized that veterans would be less likely to report HIV STD testing. They'd be more likely to report STIs as a function of hypothesis 3 and 4, which basically said they're not going to be consistent condom users and they're going to have high degrees of partners. The study that was conducted was a cross-sectional study using online participants. They were recruited through various gay-related websites for social sexual networking. This was actually Dr. Phil Schnarr's data, and this was a spin-off, really, of his, I think it was called the Bear Community and Sexual Health Study. So it was, in essence, an opportunistic, I guess, post hoc study off of this convenient sample that they had, that he had collected. So just to give you some idea of response rates, 71.2% consented and completed some of the survey. Our sample was 818 men, which is about 81% answered enough to get to satisfy what we were looking at. Measures, demographic information, I'll show you the breakdown in a second. The veteran military branches were Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, and Coast Guard. In terms of the sexual behavior measures, number of partners in the past year, consistent versus inconsistent versus never, condom use for both insertive versus receptive partners. And then the sexual health testing was, you know, are you HIV positive? Then also, how recent was your last STI exam, your last HIV exam? And also, have you shown any positivity in the past for syphilis, chlamydia, gonorrhea, herpes, and HPV? I am sorry for this torturous table. Important things to note are that we were looking at 800. That we were looking at 84 veterans versus a larger civilian population. There's the distribution of the branches of the military, with the Army being the most prevalent. It is important to note, and as a sidebar, you know, this is a very white sample, as these surveys tend to be. Tends towards, you know, larger cities. But the age and the sexual orientation were different between the two different groups. Civilians were slightly younger, and also military or veteran gay and bisexual men reported lower Kinsey scores, meaning that they were slightly more heterosexual. This, again, is kind of torturous. It's important to note that this sample was pretty sexually active. And most importantly, I like to look at the bottom part of it, which is the never use condoms as receptive or insertive partners, with about 40% saying they never use condoms. So clearly we need to think of something a little bit better. So what were the results here? We found that a few of the hypotheses were confirms, but the alternative hypothesis actually turned out, that these men were more likely to get a more recent STI test, more likely to get a more recent HIV test. They were also more likely to use condoms during both insertive and receptive anal intercourse. So this idea of this, hyper-masculine man that never uses condoms, never tested, never cares about their behavioral health, just didn't seem to pan out at all. Conclusions and implications. So obviously our initial speculations were incorrect, but why were these increases in condom use being seen? Again, this was a veteran population, so this is individuals who are operating under Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So we kind of thought that maybe it was that sort of atmosphere, that sort of environment that led to these learned behaviors that once they finished up in the military, they just never unlearned. Alternatively, maybe it's something about being in that subculture, that military subculture, after being discharged, that creates a sort of social disincentive to end up HIV positive or end up with any sort of negative health outcome. As for the testing, this might be a function of the VA and the sort of structural operating procedures they have for testing, particularly if an individual does disclose their sexual orientation. Alternatively, it might just be an individual difference of those who decide to go into the military, which is somewhat of a bold move. There may be differences between sexual minority individuals who go in versus who don't. The limitations are pretty obvious. It's a cross-sectional study. This was a secondary study off of our study of bears. I will say we controlled for everything that looked funny associated with that primary study within all of our analyses, not generalizable. Most important, though, this is really a first look towards veterans. We had that small sample size compared to the larger sample or larger referent group. So that needs to be adjusted in the future. And obviously we had a low degree of innovative measures because this was a secondary study that was an add-on. Future directions, CHEST is doing a fantastic job with their active duty studies, and I'm sure they're going to roll that into something that is amazing. There's also this Koch lab out of Houston, the Houston VA, which is looking for patient-provider issues and how to best facilitate treatment and service for sexual minority individuals. And then, of course, I'm always interested in what degree is this a subculture and what does that prescribe for all sorts of other behaviors. And, of course, what about our women? This study didn't address women at all, and we need to look at what their sexual health needs are. Thanks a lot. If you have any questions, please email me. And thanks to the New York Medical College, to which I am currently faculty. And thank you to the LGBT Caucus for putting together this symposium.